You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolf.
And welcome to the Win-Win podcast, the official podcast of Wolf's Edge Integrators. And we're going to be talking today about the journey towards towards a self-managing company for a business owner, right? So it's a constant journey. We're going to be talking about that journey today with a business owner. And before we get into that topic, the whole concept of what we do at Wolf's Edge Integrators is setting up people to be able to have self-managing companies and be able to have that freedom to do what they love doing and what they're best at. And so I've got some free resources on our website for business owners so that they can, on their own, if they wish, find out how to get their business to be more self-managing, less so pulling all the levers, pushing and pulling everything that gets done in the business through sheer brute force. We've got especially a resource on there, wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources, called a roadmap. That's the one at the top, which is a simplified version of the roadmap that the experienced COOs and integrators at our firm use with our clients on how to establish a roadmap, how to get from where you are now and the way things are now to the way things you want to be, how to set a roadmap so you know what the order of operations is for getting there. There's a video guide on how to use the tool, wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources to get a copy of that resource, as well as some other cool resources there, like the free chapter of my book, Fractional Leadership, Landing Executive Talent You Thought Was Out of Reach, and some other good stuff. So you can check that out. Some good resources to help you make your business self-managing, wolfsedgeintegrators.com/resources. And with that, I want to get into introducing our guest today, who is a great experience for me because he is a former client of mine. He is the founder and CEO of SecureStrux, a cybersecurity firm that helps federal government agencies and their contractors, as well as traditional commercial firms, with cybersecurity. I had the privilege and pleasure of serving as his fractional integrator and COO several years ago at an interesting point of on an interim basis where he was between a COO and a president. And with that, I give you Nate Shea. You can learn more about Nate at SecureStrux, securestrux.com. That's Nate Shea. Welcome, Nate.
Hey, how you doing, Ben? Good to be with you and visit again. It's been a few years, but it's been great. We've kept in touch. So
for sure. It's been quite a journey for both of us. A lot has changed. And if you could give people a little quick 2-minute background so they can understand, right? So how did you become a business owner, a founder, and sure, you know, scale to where you are now? Like, you know, give us a little quick 2-minute background.
Yeah, well, it didn't start out in cybersecurity. Cybersecurity, the word didn't exist back when my career started. But I started off as a teacher, and shortly thereafter decided that was not the field I wanted to be in long term, and had a few IT jobs. My biggest, inflection point would have been working at the Army War College here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And that's where I got my feet wet in cybersecurity. Back then it was called information warfare, and then it became information assurance. And then now it's the word it is today, cybersecurity. But after the War College, went to an agency inside of the Department of Defense called DISA, Defense Information Systems Agency, worked there for quite a bit of time. The work evolved, cybersecurity evolved, saw some opportunities for me to start a company, and worked closely with the agency and the contractors with inside of that agency with DISA, and just grew from working with governments, in particular straight with governments, to also working with clear defense contractors. We now have a company about 45 folks across the country. We're headquartered here in the Silicon Valley of Pennsylvania, called Lancaster. And
yeah, everyone thinks of Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Amish country, Silicon Valley of Pennsylvania.
That's right. We're not Amish, but we're not far from the DC area. And so I can get down there quickly. We did have some space down there prior to COVID and just didn't make sense to keep it there, and I'm able to stay closer to home. But our folks are really scattered throughout the country, some more concentrated than others. Primarily serving the Department of Defense, but a lot of organizations are becoming more educated and also know that, you know, the board of directors requiring, you know, some type of compliance or governance. And so we have grown into that space, but our roots are firm in the Department of Defense and the supply chain.
No, it's very, very cool. I was actually hearing some interesting stuff about cybersecurity issues these days on the Chris Williamson's Modern Wisdom podcast. Some stuff came up on there recently.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, we're talking about the journey towards getting your company to be more self-managing. So yeah. I guess let's start at the end or at the highest point. Is like, what's a story or example where I guess you've seen and that others can see, like, oh, look, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Like, you know, where, you know, you mentioned you're up to 45 people, but what's a story where you've seen how things are like, wow, like things are really like, I don't have to push and pull everything anymore. Like, what's a story that
it comes in waves, you know, like sometimes it's, you know, it's much easier than others. And it's not like, okay, you reached a pinnacle. And I mean, I think there's different levels along the way where you start to free up your time for something else with inside the company that's more strategic and more, you know, that you need to prioritize your time on. I would say this past year, there were a couple instances where one in particular, I was able to just get away for a few weeks on vacation. It was during a time of heavy conferences. We had a very large assessment that we've been planning for over a year that would allow us to be what they call a third-party auditing organization. You know, I was very involved with that early on, but I wasn't able to be here because my wife decided we're doing vacation these 2 weeks at this time. And that's right when the conferences were hitting. That's right when the, you know, this audit from the government was coming in. And I felt comfortable leaving. I didn't have to check in. You know, my president, you know, pinged me once or twice and just said, you know, like thumbs up. Things are going fine. And I was able to get away and not really have to worry about that, be involved with it. And there's along the way, multiple, you know, examples of just being able to break away, not be involved in that day-to-day lever pulling decision-making, really being the, you know, going from that, you know, knob turner to cheerleader and be able to cheer your team on, enable them. And that's really a big part of this journey is learning to let go, learning that, or, you know, realizing that there's a lot of talent out there that do all these pieces better than you. And you got to pay them. But and that's the tough part early on is you just don't have the necessary funds to do that. But as you grow and as you're able to scale and afford it, bringing on, you know, strong talent that can, you know, fit in the places where you're weak and then be that cheerleader to say, hey, you guys got this and keep them motivated.
Right. So. Well, I'm sure that, you know, as some people are listening to this and thinking like, oh my gosh, be away for 2 weeks, like with key things, conference, especially with key things and conferences going on for most people, like even just day to day going on, being away for 2 weeks is unimaginable for some people. Or to, especially to do that with a key conference going on in your industry with, as you mentioned, in your case, a major assessment that you've been like leading up for a year. It is a huge strategic piece of like the future business lines that you're able to provide. I mean, incredibly, incredibly important. And you're able to be away for 2 weeks during that time with, you know, very little checking in, you know, almost none, is I'm sure a light at the end of the tunnel for a lot of people to see, like, okay, this is a real person. This is not, you know, when I hear people talk about this, it's not just fluff or like people selling something, but this is a possibility. What have you found to the extent you know, again, we're going to talk about the journey in a minute and some of the ebbs and flows of that self-managingness of a business. But what are some of the biggest things that you've found or times where you've found that, hey, these were the most important elements of getting to that greater self-managingness of my business and getting out of the day-to-day and being able to be more strategic and do what you're best at.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know, I was an engineer by trade and really never had any exposure to the back office, to the boardroom, to the planning or the strategy. So I, you know, when I entered the business world or trying to grow a business, I was, you know, clueless, and you just keep, you know, pushing and lots of resilience. But, you know, you only can get it so far until it's like, all right, I can't keep all these wheels on and turn the wheel and steer the car at the same time. And so, I was introduced to, I think, yeah, a book behind you right now, Traction, and, had a buddy who handed that to me, and I read through that and I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I needed. Some type of framework. I had no clue on how to run meetings. I had no clue on, you know, the one-on-ones that are really healthy to have on like a quarterly basis, is quarterly conversations. So many pieces that, you know, started to feel like this is what I should be doing, but I just didn't know how to do it. And so that was a good, I would say, an inflection point for me. Like, okay, this is how the organization needs to be structured. Mm-hmm. And if I have these pieces in place, you know, I can elevate myself to the things that are, you know, that I need to be spending my time on, rather than worrying about QuickBooks or worrying about, you know, timesheets that are, you know, maybe a little off. So really putting a team in place, but knowing, you know, where they should play in the organization was
right. How to structure
in that journey. So, you know, knowing that and then letting them do what they were, you know, brought in to do. And, you know, and then, like I said, being an enabler, a cheerleader for them, and give them the tools that they needed. So that was one, I guess, getting one plateau that I was able to get out off of and start another journey up the mountain. And then just continue to elevate the leadership that is on your team. They're there for some can are there for the long haul, and some there are there to get you from, you know, 1,000 feet to 2,000 feet. And then you need someone to get the organization to the next, you know, part of the mountain. And so,
right.
You know, it's knowing when to, you know, change, climbers, that I think is important. And, it's kind of been critical in growth.
Right. Talk more about that. You know, how have you distinguished between, you know, when somebody maybe needs more support or who can give them support? You know,
yeah.
Sometimes you feel loyalty, right? Because somebody
Absolutely.
Can get you from 1,000 to 2,000 feet. So you feel like, okay, you know, well, you know, I can't just continue without them. So there's that, you know, but then if they can't get you from 2,000 feet to 3,000 feet or 4,000 feet,
yeah,
then ultimately it's going to hold you back. It's going to raise payroll. It's just not going to work. So yeah. How have you figured out how to distinguish between where somebody can grow? Because you're both going somewhere that neither of you have been before.
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's right.
It's not like you've been to 50,000 feet already and now you're at 2,000 feet. And so, oh yeah, now yeah. I know exactly how to spot the difference between someone who can get me from 1 to 2,000, but can't get me from 2,000 to 4,000.
Yeah.
So going somewhere you've never been before, how have you distinguished between where someone can get you to the next level or not when you haven't either been to the next level?
I mean, it helps to bring in somebody that's been there, if you can, that's already been taking some organization from the 2,000, you know, stay with the analogy, 2,000 feet to 4,000 feet. I've made the mistake where I brought in people that were at 35,000 feet and didn't experience
right.
what it was like to get from 2 to 35,000 feet. So that is a different kind of person, yeah. a different type of leader. So you can bring somebody with big shoes that's, you know, flying the A380s, but, you know, at a company that's a Cessna or, you know,
right.
just trying to, you know, get a little bit further elevation, you know, you need somebody that has that type of experience many times.
Right.
And so I've gone through that where I've had somebody that didn't know how to get to 3,000, 4,000 feet. And, you know, we made some decisions and brought in some folks that knew how to get from 3,000 to 6,000 feet. And then I've also made the mistake of bringing in people that knew how to fly an A3, you know, a jumbo jet, and and didn't know how to, you know, fly a Cessna. So
right. That's just as much of a,
yeah,
and a handicap.
That they weren't a great pilot. It just meant, well, you got to don't know how to pilot this. And so you have to, you know, get the right pilot in that seat, I guess. And, and so that's the process that, you know, we've been through and continue to, you know, trying to find the right people to get us, you know, up that mountain. So,
right.
And I remember reading a book, I think you've read it as well, called No Rules Rules.
Netflix.
And how, yeah, by Netflix, and how they just talk about, you know, we're a professional team here, and you know, it's not a family business. We are a team that is trying to do extraordinary things. And I think of like Michael Jordan now, like Michael Jordan, the best basketball player to ever play the game. But if you were to try out for the Bulls again right now, they would say, you know what, bud, you were great, but you can't play for us anymore, man. Like, you are not going to be able to get up and down the court the way you used to. And you are, you know, you're the man, but can't play for us anymore. And so that kind of changed my mindset a little bit too. And like, obviously I'm trying to work with the team members as they grow, and some continue to grow. I've had people with this company 10 years that, you know, were there pretty early on, and they continue to grow with the company, continue to evolve, continue to make us better. And there's other folks that, you know, either deselect or just, you know, you get to a point like, hey, all right, this is becoming harder to elevate you than it would be just to, you know, bring somebody else in to do the job.
Right.
So, it's not a science. It's not a science. And I wish it was. I wish you could say, hey, right, when this happens, here's the book, you know, move on. There's just so much in the formula.
Right. And, you know, I've definitely talked to so many people that have had that issue of hiring too high caliber of a person. You talk about that person that could fly the A380, yeah, but not the Cessna, right? Yeah. And so, you know, they just don't know how a small company works. Maybe they only worked in large companies. Mm-hmm. And so they don't know how that works. But, you know, what you said about bringing in somebody who has flown, you know, has gotten companies from 2,000 to 4,000 feet before, if that's where you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you can, sometimes you can hire that person. And sometimes it's not a full-time job. It doesn't make sense to hire that person, or the person with that experience you can't afford. And so that's, you know, that's where this fractional concept, obviously, like our firm comes in. I guess, can you speak to that and how you find, or where you find people who have been at your level and gotten beyond it before, you know, but are not, you know, again, not too high, not too low, but that Goldilocks level people, like, how do you find that people? How do you leverage their wisdom without sort of overpaying for it?
Yeah. I mean, when you worked with us, you know, when you came in and supported us, it was for a period of time. You helped us get through a lot of transition and helped elevate our game to a degree. We still use these type of services from time to time, that fractional or part-time contractor that can come in and just really help us in one area and elevate that area, or just, you know, plug the hole that's needed. You know, and it's the same thing with Netflix. I just remember, you know, you bring a roofer in to do the roof. You don't keep them there to do the plumbing. You don't keep them there to do the foundation.
Right.
They're being brought in for a specific task. And if they're really good, and you pay for what you get as well. So, you know, vetting those folks, having a strong network really helps. You know, your network is probably crazy when it comes to this type of fractional, COO, CEO type of you know, support. So I could probably, if I needed that type of support, I'd be pinging you first, and then you would have a whole network that, you know, you'd be able to probably resource.
Right.
So it depends on what you're trying to do, I think, within that time period. Sometimes they can be with you for a long time, but other times they're just bridging the gap, and right, that gap can be several years. It can be, you know, 6 months. So,
when you're, you know, as you said before, you know, sometimes it's a bit of a up and down ride. You know, it's not a straight line in one direction. Yeah. It's slightly up or slightly down or straight. It's ups and downs. Overall, I mean, over time, it's an upward trajectory, but, you know, towards more self-managing and towards growth. But what, you know, where have you experienced some of the, you know, sometimes it's like two steps forward, but one step back, you know, like what are some of those times? What happened?
Well, COVID was one of them. That was probably the one that stands out to me. There were other times where I had two or three contracts that, for whatever reason, right in the time, same 3 month, 6 month period, all just consolidated or, you know, decided to move a different direction. And it was like, oh my gosh. I remember the first one was probably in 2016. I had three contracts that were about 20 people, which was, you know, 2/3 of my workforce. Mm. And
I was servicing these three contracts.
What's that?
That was servicing these three contracts.
Yeah, and we were servicing these contracts, and the government decided, hey, we're going to consolidate. What was that down at the Pentagon where, you know, it was a big consolidation from a ton of contracts to one big contractor. And so we weren't on that team that got that award. So I had to figure that out and rearrange folks. And it was very challenging, but we worked through that. The other one was during COVID and a lot of uncertainty during that time, but it turned out to be one of our best years. But in the process, you know, I lost a business partner in that, you know, between things at home and the craziness of COVID, decided to move in a different direction. That's when you came into the picture. Yeah. We bridged through that gap. But, you know, it wouldn't be fun if it was one straight line. So, I mean, it is.
I know when you're in it, though, it doesn't. Fun is not the word you would probably choose when you're in it.
What's that?
When you're in the middle of it, probably fun is not the word you would choose.
No, but the longer you do it, the more you realize, like, this is an opportunity for real growth. It's an opportunity to fail, but it's certainly an opportunity for real growth. And so both of those times, there were, you know, it was challenging. And sometimes you, like you said, you went two steps back to go three steps forward. Pruning is often needed. And then there's a lot of growth after that pruning. You just have to, like, step back, go to the drawing board, say, you know, get refocused. That's happened several times in this journey, is where you just wanted to, like, branch off and we can go here and we can go there. And that's where the integrator can help you as well. And just say, look, man, we've got to stay focused. And so we've had to do that a few times and just say, hey, we've kind of, I wouldn't say lost our way, but we've gone into areas where we weren't great at. And, you know, there's this field is huge. As far as the cybersecurity field is huge, it's no longer like one thing. It's probably 20 different fields within cybersecurity that you can serve. And so, you know, we're staying focused in the Department of Defense, but I've gotten away from it and gone into, like, education and, you know, other little other industries where I just don't have the strengths or the, you know, the lingo. And so, you know, just there's times of refocusing and, you know, going back to the drawing board. So,
well, speaking of refocusing, going back to the drawing board. So what are some of those times where you said that, you know, you have a setback or things don't work and it ends up being an opportunity for growth, or how pruning ends up leading to growth, as you said? What are some, you know, I guess, what are some ways that you've had these setbacks? And I know I've had setbacks, like, you know, in my business, and sometimes it's challenging, like right when it happens, it's challenging to, like, you just feel like, oh no, you know, at
not
the beginning.
Again.
and then, you know, but then to refocus, or as you said, go back to the drawing board, like what are some times or ways where that's happened for you, where you found maybe there was a gap in between where you sort of mourned a little bit, but you know, but then found the opportunity in whatever it was.
Well, the one, like I said, was COVID, where everything shut down. We work in the classified space for the most part. So, like, we've got to be there and we got to, I can like remote in, you know? But what was happening was that the government employees, they didn't want to go in the office and they weren't going to the office. And so it's a real opportunity, like, hey, we'll go in, you know, and we'll help out. And so there was some growth there in that okay, we need the support, and your folks are available. So that was one. Also, it also made us step back and say, okay, we need to get into more of a recurring revenue model here, because this only getting paid whenever your boots on the ground is, if this happens again,
right,
be tough. And so coming out of that, we got into like a managed services model for the work that we do. So that was the unintended consequence of positive.
Well, that's a huge business model shift, and probably really helps your valuation also.
Absolutely. But it did turn into more project based and transactional, but we continued to push our clients. So it was a little bit of two ways of doing it. One was more of the longer term recurring revenue model, and there were still these transactional, it still is like still this faster moving transactions. And then, but that is the second piece is like, okay, you can get a lot of innovation on this side. There's a lot of opportunities to learn, help clients out, and grow your client base. But long term, we need to have folks that are supporting our clients long term. And so we just looking for those contracts, being selective in those contracts, not just taking whatever is in front of us, has helped drive discipline. And that's a constant struggle because there are some shiny objects over here, shiny clients that you're like, man, I'd just love to have that logo under our belt, and be able to. So sometimes you just have to make those decisions like, okay, we can do that. And then, but try to stay disciplined where it can be a distraction and take away from the resources of the longer term and your longer term objectives. So, and that's where your team, having a strong team around you, leadership team around you can, and willing to be held accountable, being willing to be like, okay, like I'm not the only guy steering this boat, and letting them, take the wheel on some of these things. So,
well, when you talk about that right leadership team or right people, as a final question, what have you found has been most effective in terms of ensuring that you get the right people and keep or prune, towards right people over time?
Yeah, I mean, that's a constant process too. I continue to get better at it. I mean, that was another part of Traction where like we didn't really have core values where at least articulated. We had core values. Every company has core values. It's a matter of have they articulated it? Right. Have they really, have they decided to live by those core values? And so part of coming out of Traction and reading that book is like, look, this is how we want to behave. How are we behaving now? Let's articulate the positive things that we're doing, the people around us, their behaviors, what things are they doing that it just makes us exceptional. And then let's articulate those things. And then let's continue to try to hire the kind of people that, exhibit those behaviors. So living by your core values, that builds a culture. And then really being careful of who you introduced into that culture and with inside of your company. And so that has been the biggest thing is protecting that for me, at least is protecting the culture, being patient in the folks that we bring in and not just going for the first resume that comes through the door.
Right. Cause you're so desperate.
It's going to take longer. What's that?
Cause you're so desperate to fill that role.
Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, just need somebody to, that's just putting a Band-Aid on it. But really doing your very best, and still make these mistakes, but doing your very best to get people that will fit that culture, your culture, get other people around you that can take some ownership in that hiring process as well is helpful. Having some good recruiting teams out there to help as well to get the talent in front of you. So right. It's not a science, but having a team around you to be a soundboard and to give advice is critical.
Right. That's so true. And as you said, it's a journey. There's ups, there's downs, there's two steps forward, there's one step back, there's three steps forward, there's sometimes four steps back, and then five steps forward.
I mean, if you're listening to this, I just encourage you to be to just keep pushing forward and be resilient. I mean, it's a it may be a word that's overused recently, but there just it takes a lot of grit and just determination. Yeah. And I just encourage you know, whoever's listening to, and if you're in this journey, just keep pushing forward. It works out.
Yeah. Grit, perseverance, resilience. It's not a, you know, it's, if you're not experiencing a straight upward journey, that's because you're normal.
Yeah.
Like, that is right. Not to be expected. And
if you
succeed,
do, you're probably not learning.
That perseverance.
If you do experience that straight line, you're probably not learning. And if you're not learning, you're not growing. And
right. Could be a bigger dip later on.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I don't think there's anyone growing. You look at the most successful people out or companies out there, and the most, I mean, we'll just throw out Elon Musk and Bezos and Gates. They all had these really crazy struggles and challenges they had to work through. But they got great people, you know, around them.
Right.
It wouldn't be where they are.
You think of the people that have, you know, these companies that had meteoric rises and then a meteoric fall. Like you talk about BlackBerry and Blockbuster. You know, they were just like, I mean, yeah. I remember when like everybody, oh, BlackBerry, you know, everybody has to have a BlackBerry. And then, like Blockbuster versus Netflix, you know, but like Blockbuster just got complacent. It's like, oh, this is, we're entitled to this. We're entitled to growth and success now.
Yeah.
Because they had it for so long.
And I think of in Microsoft too, Microsoft, I thought was going to like, man, what's going on there? And then they got into the cloud business.
Yeah,
and then we got
finally
into
catching up
business.
Now to, I mean, they were the top,
but they
fell
away. They're doing incredible. It's been an incredible turnaround.
I know. Like, I actually own a Microsoft manufactured computer. Well, we have a couple of them in our house, you know, a couple of Microsoft Surfaces.
Yeah,
yeah, they're like, you know, used to be nobody bought a Microsoft,
getting away
computer.
From operating systems and into, you know, into the cloud. So, anyway, and security too, they're probably the craziest cybersecurity. Company out there. No one thinks about it as a cybersecurity company, but they are.
Right. Well, I do know from experience that any company you work with that has high security needs, they always use Microsoft and not Google Workspace.
Yeah.
You know, anything in healthcare or insurance is like critical data security.
They've been pretty entrenched in the government too. I mean, they've been doing, so that helps. But,
anyway, Nate, thank you very much for making the time here. I appreciate you sharing your journey, some of the vulnerability of the ups and downs. I know people get a lot of benefit from it. Again, SecureStrux, securestrux.com for anybody that you know, wants to check out or has security, cybersecurity needs, whether commercial, whether you're a government contractor or whatever. But thank you. Appreciate this.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Great being with you.
Appreciate it. And everybody else, we'll see you on the other side. Thanks.
You're listening to Win-Win, an entrepreneurial community with your host, Ben Wolfe.